like some time to look and see what the 20-foot, how the 20-foot impacts the grading plan. We also have, we're also working with Waukesha Water Utility on an easement that's coming across the back of Lot 6. So there's a lot of stuff going on at that corner.
Question for the city attorney. If could we put in the language that it might include a portion of the street right away, or is that not allowed?
Location to be determined, non-specified easement for trail purposes as needed, no greater than 20 feet to that extent. So that the city looks at where the trail is, working with you. If Hardwick wants to be on your property, you would have to commit up to 20 feet on that location. There's got to be an alignment that works for you and the city. My guess is, given the site, the bulk is going to want to be in the right way. Like if they don't park across the corner or in the other end. So all you'd be committing to is accommodating up to a 20-foot swath within a certain area rather than full length across the north edge or some undefined area. You just wouldn't have to put a legal description for a 20-foot swath down.
I think in concept that's fine, but there's other things going on in the backyards here. We own Jay's easements. Buffer yard easements. That's the next condition. I mean, we're willing to work to a solution to this. I just, by accepting this condition, I think I boxed myself in a little bit here. I think the comp plan does say that it's an in-road trail. But
yes, it is true. That's why it was a little confusing when we were looking at this, trying to figure out a solution.
Condition number 27 is a landscape buffer yard of 30 feet along the rear yard, along the rear of lots 6 and 7 in the form of a 30-foot wide buffer yard easement. So 6 and 7 were being requested to provide 30 feet of a buffer yard. When you add 30, I met with We Energies as well on this to start designing the electric. They want to go per the city in the rear yard with service. They require a 15-foot easement. So when you take 30 feet and then 15 feet, the rear usable rear yards of 6 and 7 become very compressed. And what I had asked, I had inquired with city engineer, spoke with Ben about, realizing that it has to show up as a condition because this is code, what I wanted to offer is if we could do a 15-yard buffer landscape buffer yard along the rear of 6 and 7, and then because we have to, there's going to be another 15 feet that's going to be We Energies easement for their infrastructure. There's nothing, I know the easement language for We Energies says that you can't plant trees, but it's usable space. So what we're trying to do is preserve the backyards of 6 and 7 while doing a landscape buffer, but we're requesting that the buffer be 15 feet instead of 30 feet. And then just so the commission knows, there's going to be an additional 15 feet that's going to be a We Energy easement.
Oh, this condition is for the benefit of the
landowner? Yes, it's envisioned in our code that any street that fronts, or excuse me, lots that back up to an arterial roadway be provided a 30-foot landscape buffer. The conflicting matter here is that we also have a requirement that electric utilities go into the rear of the lots. So the alternative would be if a 30-foot buffer would be enforced on this, the electric would be in the front, hence potential pedestals, things like that in the front. So.
Maybe the resolution of this is in the type of easement that they could be overlapping. We Energy doesn't get an exclusive easement and they would be granting that. So theoretically, you can have 3 feet, 15 of which is We Energy's to use, but the full 30 applies to the buffer yard. They're not mutually exclusive. You're allowed to do more in that space. And you give the Energy's that easement, they don't have exclusive rights to whatever. They have a right to place their equipment within yours.
Correct. What I had proposed in a exhibit was that there'd be 30 feet of an easement. The We Energies would be in that same 30 feet, and then the landscape plan that we would put together with staggered trees or planting, so we're not on top of the We Energies easement, but we're creating a landscape buffer using the 15 feet.
That's the irony. When you have an electric easement, they very rarely like anything growing within there. So I don't know how that would work if you have underground electric.
They better not go through 90% of subdivisions in the city. And they get back 15 and
ask
you to go
through every city.
Keep
it in there and growing there.
I was just going to say, my understanding is We Energies doesn't prohibit planting in there. They don't want anything that grows taller than 15 or 20 feet, and if it does, they can whack it. But there are a lot of trees. They actually put out brochures on things you can plant in their easements and right of ways without impacting them. They just don't want to see large forests in there.
Can't plant okay,
anything else, Ben? That's all I had. My request wasn't to delete it, but to show these, but to not to show them on the preliminary plat, but to have some flexibility that they wouldn't be recorded until the time of the final plat,
okay.
Or something to that effect, just so we're not locked into these conditions because things are going to change.
And I know that I wrote the city attorney in this one because I know we had talked a little bit about how to word some of these conditions, and I think with our UDO, like the city attorney said previously, we want our preliminary plat to mirror our final plat in as much conformance as possible, no major deviation. So I guess a little bit of maybe splitting hairs, but a lot of our conditions, if you notice, prior to recording the preliminary plat, do we record a preliminary plat, city attorney? I believe we do, right? And then we
in other words, we can probably live with prior to recording of the final plat, but a lot of the wording here is prior to preliminary plat filing. There might be some language here. I've never filed a preliminary plat or recorded. I've never recorded a preliminary plat.
So,
I got it. Could we say that the applicant provides these graphically on the preliminary plat and the final plat? The final plat shall be in substantial conformance to shown in the preliminary plat. I mean, we're not looking to change things like across the property. I mean, I'm just worried is that the grading plan, when it finally gets all said and done, if we nick a tree or I run into issues with DOT and DNR with the right turn lane on the road, and I'm locked into this, what do I do? Do I come back and ask, hey, we just need some flexibility on some of these things.
Understand and realize there's going to be some deviations, and if it's a major deviation, then like Dan's worst case scenario is, yeah, we may ask that they bring back the plat again because it's changed, it's different. But that's for us to make that call along with engineering. So I guess as long as we all understand that, that's kind of what our UBO provides as well. Guidance that says, as long as it's in substantial compliance, if it's not in substantial compliance, that's on staff to review, offer to Dan, and then if there's a grievance, I'm sure there's an avenue that allows him to come to the council or a judgment call or some other remedy, legal recourse. But as far as I'm concerned, as long as what he's showing tonight is there, I think we're on board. If a lot of our comments that we've made that are UBO requirements, if there's a couple that aren't clear, we will probably ask that and bring it forward as an item and basically highlight it at a future meeting so it's understood and discussed before it's put to bed. Does that make sense?
Just in rereading number 6 of where we're on, it speaks to graphically delineating dimensions of location of proposed deed restrictions, landscape elements, or conservation. Doesn't mean they need to happen. They're proposed at this time. We show them, and if there's a deviation,
26.
You could put the word proposed 10-foot trail.
Are we still requesting
26 or not?
Can we not include 26 and just say proposed 10-foot trail?
Fowler?
No.
Haley?
Yes.
Burkhart?
Yes.
Hogan?
Yes.
And Arnold? So we have a preliminary plat proposing to subdivide the 11.2 acre parcel into 26 through 23 R6 single family lots and one outlot. The outlot will consist of natural resource features, including a stormwater management facility. The subdivision includes the extension of Marquette Avenue from 49th Street to 51st Street, in coordination with the developer of the adjacent Pleasant View Estate subdivision. So the CSM, in order to allow the existing farmhouse to remain separate from the Oak Ridge of Franklin subdivision plat, that's the rationale and reasoning behind this. Do we need any other explanation?
CSM number two, Wally Habowitz property, is being divided off the lot. We do not own the Habowitz property. We would like to clarify that there would be no impact fees applied to the house that's being broken off from our plot.
Mayor, that would be resolution point number 2 here, so it's just clear about this basically says the impact is applied to the entire district. Yes. There seems to be, this throughout the entire document, that all the CSM language seems to apply to the entire thing of reporting this site survey map, which in some cases it might be the same prior to reporting the final plat, but even in condition 3, it says any easement shown on the survey map shall be subject to written and easement instruction. That's fine for the CSM that's pretty so wall that was individual lot involved in all, but when it comes to the rest of the subdivision and service by survey map, that's all going to be picked up on the preliminary plat as well.
So I guess they could easily be rectified by every time there is a discussion relating to the certified survey map that it becomes clear throughout the document that those things, which one they apply to, because they seem to ran the CSM all together in one as, you know, breaking off one lot from the rest of it, and then the preliminary plat is a completely separate document, so we'll come up across a couple other ones where it says subdivision developers agreement, which should be addressed in the next one and not in this one.
Okay, well, since you're not the applicant, let's let the applicant tell us what changes he wants to the document.
Well, we'd like it to say that it does not apply to the single family house, that the impact fees would not apply to Mr. Havlewood's single family house.
So this impact fee, I'm not sure exactly what this stems from. I'll be completely honest, unless our city attorney or engineer can enlighten us on this. I guess I don't know the background on this and the rationale behind this. I'm just going off staff comments from Joel Deedle's staff comments that indicate that's generally how this would work.